For July 28th, 2016, it's the Lullabot Podcast. Lullabot Podcast. It's the Lullabot Podcast, episode 192. I'm Matt Cleave, a senior developer at Lullabot. Alongside me, I have Mike Herschel, front-end dev. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing in this fine afternoon?
I think it's a fine afternoon, and I'm doing great. So every couple of weeks, Mike and I get together, and we talk about Drupal. We talk about web development. We talk about things that are just happen to be going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this, you know, Mike, you and I both have traveled a bunch to go to Drupal camps. I sat down and I made a list of the different places I've been to a Drupal camp, and I'm going to put you on a spot. So while I name my list, I'm going to let you think about your list. So I know that I've been to Drupal camps in Denver and Boulder, Dallas and Austin. I went to Columbus, Ohio, Orlando, and in Berkeley, Bad Camp. So where have you been?
All right. So I would say Florida. I just got back from Nice Camp. I've been to Asheville. I've been to Drupal Camp Colorado. I've been to Drupal Camp Chattanooga. I've been to Drupal Camp Atlanta. I was in DrupalCon down in Bogota. I've been through all the North American DrupalCon since San Francisco.
Me too, yep.
And there's probably a couple in there that I'm missing. And in addition to that, I have been to Drupal Camp Costa Rica.
Between the two of us, I would say that, you know, we're fairly well-traveled as far as Drupal events go, right?
I would say, yeah.
Yeah, we get around and we give our talk and, you know, see the area and meet the community.
Yep.
Learn from the community.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what?
I would say so.
I don't think we can hold a candle to our guest today.
No.
So with us, we have the chief technical officer at Anexus IT. He's now the co-founder at We Know, a Drupal and Symfony consulting and training company. He's the co-maintainer of Drupal Console. He's been on Drupal.org for over 8 years. He's known as Enzolutions on Twitter. He's a Colombian living just outside of San Jose, Costa Rica. It's Eduardo Garcia.
Yes, that's correct.
A.K.A. Enzo.
Hey, what's up, Enzo?
Hey, hey, buddy. Thank you for inviting me to this awesome podcast. It's an honor for me.
Enzo, you've been everywhere. There's a song. There's an old country song. I've been everywhere. That's you, right?
Yeah, well, I am trying. I have a lot of countries in my list, but I am trying to do my best.
So you just got back on a Drupal tour around, did you literally go around the world? Did you travel all the way around?
Yeah. Wow. I literally did a one round of the world in the Drupal world, actually.
Holy cow. That's pretty awesome. So I tell you what, let's start off. Where all did you go?
In this tour only?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, this year in New York, this is my first stop.
All right.
I jumped to DrupalCon India, and then from there I changed a little bit my agenda. So, but from there I jumped to Singapore, South Korea, Vietnam, Japan. I just spent a month in China, visiting 5 cities in China. Then I get down a little bit to go to Thailand, Taiwan, Philippines. 3 cities in Indonesia, and then Melbourne, Sydney, and I have a couple, you know, breakout from my tour. So I visit Tasmania in Australia and Hawaii in USA, and then I finish in Mexicali. But after that, I did an extended tour. I went to Sao Paulo and Porto Alegre, Brazil. And I just came back from Washington D.C. to participate in the DrupalGovCon, my first DrupalGovCon.
Yeah,
that just happened last week, right? In Washington D.C., the DrupalGovCon. So, how many countries have you been to on this tour of Drupal events?
For this year,
I think I counted. There were like about 87. Is that right?
No. 16 countries.
16.
16 countries.
Wow.
16 countries. And you mentioned a couple of Drupal events in some of the countries. I heard you say 3 in Indonesia
Actually, not a couple. So when I start my tour, my goal is visit countries where I could share with the Drupal community. So in every single city, I participate at least in a in a Drupal meetup. So I could present about Drupal 8, about Drupal console. And outside the DrupalCon, I was in one Drupal, the first DrupalCon in Hanoi, Vietnam.
Cool.
The DrupalCon in Manila, Philippines, DrupalCon Shanghai, and DrupalCon Chongqing, which is a city in the east, in the west of China. It's the biggest city in China, I guess.
So you went to different Drupal camps, and you also picked up DrupalCon when it happened in India, and you said and at other meetups as well. Did you give the same talk? You were presenting information about Drupalators or Drupal console. Was it always the same?
Yeah, well, I have the same basic conversation, and obviously because we are in constant development in Drupal 8 and Drupal console, I was trying to change a little bit about my talk, but the general idea is different. Also because the technical level depends on the city was different. Where Drupal is more used, I try to be more advanced. So obviously compare is always an ugly thing to do, but I could say, for instance, in countries where the community is more strong, like Australia and Japan, the topic were more advanced, and or the same like in Singapore or something, but in countries where Drupal 8 penetration is not working really well, I could say like in Philippines, in Indonesia. So I just to try to provide the startup for the product, right?
Yeah, yeah. So what gave you this idea to say, hey, I'm just going to spend a whole bunch of money and travel around the world and teach people Drupal?
Well, from my childhood, I have this dream, right, to try to do travel around the world in one direction. And yeah. I get this idea from Jules Verne book, you know, around the world in 80 days. So I say, when I was young, I want to do this one day.
Did you take a balloon around the world?
No. But I take a boat, a bus, a car.
A submarine?
Not a submarine. But I take a boat.
That's cool.
So I obviously, as you, Matt and Michael, I love traveling and, you know, mingling with people. And after last year, I participated my first time in Drupal Association election. And one of my ideas is to try, like, I really believe in the idea to try to invest in the community, to be more close to them, to try to share and encourage them to contribute, to be more participative, because I believe this is a huge, you know, internet population around the world. Mm-hmm. So I believe in that. So I didn't get elected. So I just say I am going to put my money where my mouth is. So I say I said. This is possible. This is really useful for the community. And because I said that, now I will do by my own.
And you said put your money where your mouth is. This couldn't have been a cheap endeavor. Is this something that you were footing the bill for? And
mostly, I funded this trip by myself. I get some contributions. Like one guy in China, he paid me some couple flights to travel in China. I just stay in a couple places, like in Shanghai, in Osaka, Japan, and in Chongqing and Chengdu, in some places people provide to me. So it depends on of the community. When they want to share with me something, obviously I say yes. Yeah. But it's I could say maybe 10% sponsored by community without any crowdfunding, and 90% for me. But I don't spend 100% of my time doing Drupal, right? I travel a lot, enjoy the view, and talking with people. So it's not that bad as maybe people think.
So if I wanted to travel around the world and replicate the Enzo Tour 16, how much money should I save?
Oh, you never asked that. I don't want to talk about money.
All right, Matt Cleave's going to pay me anyway.
I am.
Okay. Yeah. You don't know that yet.
Well, maybe I'll go with you. It'll be the Matt and Mike show.
Yeah. Matt and Mike, Lillibot podcast on tour.
We'll talk about your dog.
he's a good boy.
I could say if I want to do a game, maybe my wife will not be angry. He's like, this is one trip in your life, that like that, not two. It's like,
she probably wanted to come with you.
She went with me in part of the trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's I think pretty important, you know, because you were gone for a half a year, right?
4 months, a little longer than 4 months.
Wow.
Cool. So, let's ask about like maybe some specific questions about countries and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I want to know just kind of what the communities are like, and let's start off with DrupalCon India. How was that? How was the community, and what was your biggest surprise?
The DrupalCon in India was actually a real DrupalCon in terms of people. Mm-hmm. A lot of Indian companies doing Drupal. People try to hire new resources, getting new clients. That was really impressive for me. The quality of the session was really good. Surprises, I could say India is a tough country, so maybe people could say that, but they are really welcome. So they were really happy to have the opportunity to invite people to their place and show like maybe to try to remove some stereotypes people have about the country. Mm-hmm. And was really fun. And maybe the biggest surprise is like I met in that place with many guys from other communities, and actually that reshaped my trip, because at the beginning I had the intention to go to New Zealand and to go to Cambodia, but then I talked with some people about my trip and they said, you need to go to my country, you need to go, we need to do something. And then I include Taiwan in my trip and Indonesia. Mm-hmm. So that changed a little bit. And then I met in advance some people. I get in contact again with them. Actually, I met some people in India, then I visit again in Singapore, and again in Philippines. So it's like I mentioned that, and I say, okay, you are going to my place. Now I am going to the other place. You are going to participate at that camp. So this is like the networking was really good.
Was it easy to actually physically travel to these countries? I mean, I don't mean like it's hard to get on a plane. I'm talking about visas and that type of thing to be able to come and go.
I am, my passport is Colombia, so maybe it's not the most friendly passport in the world. But even that, I don't have any problems. So as with using a European or US your Canadian passport, is really easy. So I just, for instance, when I decided to get to, you know, to include in Indonesia in my tour, I don't have the visa, so I went to the Indonesia embassy in Shanghai. I say what I am going to do, and they give me the visa. Wow! So,
were you traveling for business or for pleasure?
When I request the visas, I always say for pleasure, and I have a friend who will be take care of me. So they send me the invitation, and they say, "Hey, this guy is coming, and he is leaving the country."
Sure.
Okay. Cool. So let's talk. Moving across the map, how about Singapore? Tell us about the Drupal community in Singapore. And
Singapore is a small place. The community is not different than many others I found. The meeting was about 18 attendees.
Okay.
It's a growing community. It's technically advanced in terms of the kind of project they do, and the city is awesome. For me, it's like the city of the future. Everything is perfect.
I've heard it's a very clean country.
It's clean. It's synchronized. This is how the world must be in 25 years or 50 years.
That's pretty cool. So from there, where did you go? To Vietnam or?
Vietnam, yes. Yeah, Vietnam, is they organized their first Drupal camp. Was about 180 attendees. Vietnam is pretty different than maybe people think. So as a Latin American citizen, I could say the society doesn't look different than a Latin American country. They are not poor. Everybody is working. It was my first communist country, but I don't see really any different. And in terms of technology, I was amazed. Vietnam is a huge provider of technology service in Asia in terms of manufacturing, like a companies like Canon or something, and also in terms of software. Japan cover the 50% of our source company doing business in Vietnam. So it's getting bigger and bigger in terms of technology in general. And that is totally a surprise for me.
So how was the language barrier going between these countries? I'm guessing you didn't know Vietnamese or Mandarin or anything.
Not yet.
Yeah.
What languages do you speak?
English, Spanish, and I could understand 60-70% Portuguese.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And I am trying to learn a little Chinese. Obviously, I did a little bit in China, but I am sure by 4 years living in China in order to learn. But that's it.
So how was the language then?
In Vietnam, what I did is the organizer, Tong, a member of FFW Vietnam, he provide in what is the name for that?
Translator?
Yeah, but at the moment, real translation, I don't know.
Yeah, real-time translation, I think that sounds right.
So, I said the settings he translated, and because I was talking about Drupal 8, the console, I changed the UI in Vietnamese, and I changed the UI of Drupal console in Vietnamese, so people could figure out between the image with the translator said, have a little comprehension about what I say.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. Cool. Mm-hmm. So after Vietnam, South Korea or Japan?
Seoul, South Korea.
Yeah.
Well, I land in the middle of winter, so it was really freezing. Uh-huh. Was a cultural shock because it was my first Asian country. Funny story is my first meal in Seoul was ice noodles. I ordered in a vending machine.
Ice noodles?
Yes.
From a vending machine?
Yes. And they, I in my mind, they say, okay, maybe they are creative artists or something. Maybe it's some proper meal. And when I get the meal, guess what? Was ice and noodles. That's it.
I don't know what you expected.
I don't know, because this is crystal noodles or something with, something. Yeah. But no, literally was only that.
Was it any good?
Was cold.
And noodly.
Yeah. So at least they provide what they said, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I have to order something else with a proper name to say I want meat, da la la la, and then I get the proper thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the community in Seoul, Drupal is not particularly popular in Seoul. Mm-hmm. It's used more for couple startups. They have a community, but it's mm-hmm. small. But I have a meeting about 10. Yeah, about 10. Mm-hmm. But that was really welcome. And I attribute this part of the problem is about the language barrier, but it's not about my lack of Korean. It's about in Asia, they like to have the products in their language.
Yeah.
So for instance, Google Map doesn't work really well in Korea, but they have another service like Google is named Navin and works perfectly. And everything is like that. So they expect more support in the language. When they go to Drupal and they don't see anything in Korea, in Korean, they decided mostly to use a different product.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, everybody wants to work in their own language. What's popular in Seoul?
To be honest, they say WordPress is pretty popular because I guess they have some official documentation or something in Korean.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Okay, so where next? Japan?
Japan? North Korea? Yes, Japan and Tokyo and Osaka was totally awesome culturally. The Drupal community is technically high. They have several companies in a decent size using Drupal, and they are using Drupal in universities, government, big companies like Fujitsu, kind of that. So they are getting very popular But and you know, when we did the session when Tokyo was in IBM, and in Osaka was in a huge nice building. Imagine nice buildings in Japan, just like that. It's really high tech with a lot of people there. So yeah, they are really high, but could be better. They say the same problem. So they don't use WhatsApp. They use Line because Line is in Japanese, and usually they use another product. And they were they say a similar problem about, but they were specific about the marketing process, the selling process.
Yeah,
because they say when you are trying to sell something, if it's not in Japanese, even if you say it's after you install, you could do in Chinese and or whatever. But the guy who take the decision, they say basically something like, why I need to trust in this product if it is not in Japanese? They have the money, so they choose sometimes create something from scratch or create Ruby because Ruby is a Japanese product.
Yeah.
So I think it's good in Japan, but could be better if we try to solve something different in terms of language barrier.
Makes sense. Where did you go after Japan?
After Japan, I jumped in China, visiting Shanghai, Beijing, Chongqing, and Chengdu. Drupal, Shanghai and Chongqing were Drupal camps. They were about 200, attendees, so it was really big. It's a similar situation in terms of Japan, language, the problem, marketing, but the penetration is decent. Maybe it's low based of the size of the country. What I could say is like, they have the China firewall or something, so they have to deal with some technical issues. I suffered that for a month. So it's possible to live your real life without Facebook or Twitter for about 4 weeks. It's possible.
What?
Really?
What? That can't be true.
Yeah. No, you need to use it. After 3 days, you are getting crazy.
So you got to see the Great Firewall of China close at hand, right?
Yes. Yeah. But that doesn't exist officially.
No, of course not. Uh-huh. What about the Great Regular Wall of China? Did you get to go to?
Oh, yes. I have awesome pictures because you could visit in three sections. So I choose to go in Wednesday, early in the morning. So basically, I have problems to find people to take me a picture of me because it was only about like a 10 or 12 guys in the Great Wall.
Yeah.
And usually are thousands. So it was a nice experience. It was cold, but was a nice experience.
I'm glad to hear that you got out and saw some of these things. I know that when I've gone to some of the Drupal events that I've been to, just the few that I've been to, sometimes I don't get out and see the city, and I kind of regret that. So it's good that you got to see some of the culture of the country as well as the Drupal in the country.
Exactly.
Yes, especially around Asia. I have yet to be there. So tell us more about what about the differences, the regional differences within China? Is there anything that struck out or that you noticed?
Well, food in the West is more spicy than the East. It's really spicy. All these strange food, strange food you hear about raccoons or something people eat. They say most of them are only urban legends. But there are, of course, you can order in some special place, monkey brains or something. But this is only for millionaires.
Did you eat monkey brains?
No, because you need to spend more than $1,000 to eat that.
Wow. I don't know who would spend that.
A lot of people, but not me.
You could make it to another couple of countries for $1,000.
Exactly. Yeah. I prefer to go to McDonald's and then spend the other...
You're probably getting monkey brains at McDonald's. You just don't know it.
Yeah, totally fair. Well, maybe another cultural is like they have very different dialects inside China. I went in Hong Kong and I was confused about the Chinese simplified and traditional. until one day they just explain. They say, okay, we used to have Chinese traditional, that's only Chinese, but then they did a fork, right, to Chinese simplify. And now they put a lot of commits in both branches, and now it's impossible to merge.
Is this up on GitHub anywhere?
Not yet. But this is the difference between Chinese simplify and traditional. There are two branches with too many conflicts.
It makes sense to me now. That's actually a really good way to put it. I've heard of both, but I never understood the difference. That's great.
Yeah. So 60 years of commit. So imagine the level of conflicts.
Yeah, merge conflict from hell. So you got to go to Hong Kong also?
Yes. This is different. Hong Kong is more like a British city.
Yeah.
Everything is in English. But it's weird because Hong Kong is not a different country, but it is. So you need a different visa to go to Hong Kong. Uh-huh. And not all Chinese people are available to go to Hong Kong. So it's what they say. It's one country, two system, or three system, because they have Macau.
But they let a Colombian who'd been traveling for a couple of months at that point right on.
I don't know. But I don't need visa to go to Hong Kong, okay. So this is good.
good. So where after China?
China, Thailand, the popular Bangkok. The community in Thailand is pretty small. It's led by the British guys who have a small company in Bangkok. So they are trying to promote and create community in Bangkok. So when they organize in a co-working space a meeting, like a people from companies get in, about 12. But they say the movement is getting more and more traction. So this is an example, like sometimes people bring technology from another country, in this case from UK, and they are trying to create community in Thailand.
Makes sense. Where do you go to after Taiwan or Thailand?
So Thailand and Hong Kong, but I already talked about that.
Yeah.
And then I jumped to Taiwan. Uh-huh. Taiwan is a mix between, it's like the intersection or the interdiff between Japan and China. Because they just speak Chinese traditional, but it's very similar to Japan in some how the city is. It's really modern and it's really cheap. Taiwan is cheaper than China and Japan. The community is an island, but well, I live in Costa Rica, so it's almost an island. But it's getting more popular in Taiwan those days. Traditionally, Taiwan, they are more interested in electronics, you know, because all ASUS and all these motherboards are created in Taiwan. Mm-hmm. So the web development is not the most popular technology, but yeah, you could find some websites in Taiwan to do that. The awesome thing is when I went there, they decided to create a install for Windows to enable people to use Windows and use Composer, Drush, PHP, Console, and Drupal 8. And they released yesterday. The name of the company is Fliegen. So even they are small, they say they want to contribute something for Drupal Windows community.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So next Taiwan, I visit Philippines to participate in DrupalCon. That was my second keynote because I did my keynote in DrupalCon Chongqing. And then in Philippines, I did a keynote. Was about why investing in community is good for your business. This is what I think. So I did a keynote. Was about 80-90 people was in Hewlett Packard Enterprise offices one day. No, actually, was one day. People in there. So Philippines, because the language, they are an important provider in the area for web development services for China, for Japan, and actually there are some US companies that have offices in the Philippines.
Where after Philippines? Where did you go?
Indonesia. I visited Jakarta, Yogyakarta, and Bali. So surprisingly, everybody relate Bali, you know, temples, you know, surf and something. Yeah. But actually, Bali, all of the cities, but especially Bali, they have a huge web development environment. Why? Really? Because there are a lot of Australian companies that had offices in Bali. Because, you know, people love to do this, you know, chill out, surf, and because it's really cheap. So
that makes sense.
They open and then they offer people, hey, if you want, you could work from our office in Bali. You know, it's like our office in Costa Rica. It's really popular among our clients in my company. So in Bali, it's the same. So this was a really good group in Bali for our meetup. Not the in Jakarta, and Yogyakarta was similar, but was like a surprise for me that in Bali was important.
So what was the biggest surprise in Indonesia?
The biggest surprise? This is a tough question. Maybe the food. The food, because the food is like is Asian spicy Island food. So sometimes it's really difficult to find good food for me. It's a little tricky.
We're going around the Drupalverse with Enzo as he talks about his trip that he's been on and hitting up all kinds of Drupal events around the world. We'll have more from that coming up right after this.
Hello.
Hello, Joe. What do you know?
I know all kinds of stuff.
It's Joe Schindler, lead developer and lead trainer from Drupalize Me. Looks like, according to the Drupalize Me blog, you have some new stuff about Migrate. You're continuing your Migrate series.
That is true. When we first released the content that's on the site for the Migrate series, we had a bunch of content that's kind of geared towards teaching you like what a migration is and how to prepare for one, and then dived into the part of it that's like a Drupal to Drupal migration, so upgrading from Drupal 7 to Drupal 8. And now we're trying to continue to expand the guide and include information about migrating from custom, like non-Drupal sources, whether that's like a CSV file or a custom database or some other CMS. So we've got a bunch of content that is introducing the various plugin types that are part of the Migrate framework. So source plugins and destination plugins and what the role that each of them plays and how to write your own so that you could, for example, in our example use case, we import a bunch of Major League Baseball statistics into Drupal because we can.
Sometimes when you think about migrations, you think about building a site for the first time or converting a site into Drupal 8, but sometimes Migrate can be used for continuous integration of things like statistics and bringing new information constantly onto the website.
Yeah, it absolutely can. Especially within the Migrate framework in Drupal, there's this concept of like, high water marks. So you could, you know, it basically run an import up to a point and then it'll keep track of the last, how far you got last time. And then if you run it again, it'll say, all right, I've already imported everything from, you know, here back, but I need to grab these new things and import them. So you could have like ongoing statistics added to your external database and continue migrating those into Drupal, which is pretty sweet.
So Joe, why is learning Drupal hard?
I actually just wrote a blog post about this, and I'm giving a presentation about it in the near future, so I've been thinking about it quite a bit.
Hang on, you're underselling that. You're not just giving a presentation. You're the keynote speaker, Joe Schindler.
I'm going to be the keynote speaker at Drupal Camp Wisconsin, which is actually tomorrow, so I'm going to be talking about this a bunch tomorrow morning. I think the gist of it is Drupal is hard because it's fairly ambiguous. There's a lot of scenarios that you're going to run into when you're learning Drupal where you have to not only know how to add a field to a content type, but you need to know like what are the implications of the field type that you choose and how is that going to affect things further down the road. And it's really easy to teach someone how to add a field to the content type, right? Like follow the step-by-step guide, go click on this thing, and then ta-da, you've got a field. And it's a lot more complicated to learn the difference between using a field, the same field on multiple content types versus creating new fields for each content type and when you might want to do one or the other. And I think, you know, the premise here is that basically you're going to run into this point where the only way to really learn that stuff is through experience and through conversations and feedback that you get from other people who have already experienced that.
So being a part of the community and being in touch with what's going on beyond your website seems to be important.
Yeah, absolutely. Being part of the community allows you the opportunity to meet more people that are working on Drupal and learn from what they've done. You know, oftentimes I think of Drupalize Me as being this interesting, like the value of Drupalize Me is partially that it teaches you how to add fields to a content type, like the step-by-step instructions. But it's also like you get to benefit from the fact that I've spent the last 10 years smashing my head against my desk learning how this stuff works. And now I can try to boil it down and be like, yep, this is what you need to do in this particular case. I, of course, only know the things that I've done, though. And so it's super beneficial for me to, like, for example, have the opportunity to talk to you about, like, the things that you've experienced, and we can compare notes. And so even if you're, like, talking to other people who aren't Drupal experts, even if they're at the same level as you, it's just having the opportunity to talk about what you're trying to do and get feedback from people is so beneficial.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Welcome back to the Lilibot podcast. We're talking with Eduardo Garcia, aka Enzo, about his trip around Drupal.
Enzo's great adventure in Drupal.
Yep.
And he's talked about where he was along the Pacific, and I understand up the upside down nation of Australia is next, right?
Yeah, down under. Yeah, I in Australia I visit Melbourne and Sydney for Drupal stuff and just for a holiday in Tasmania.
So tell us about the Australian community.
Well, Australia, because the government is using Drupal a lot, you know, this distribution for government created for the Australian IT department. So this is a huge community. There are a lot of small companies. I guess this is good for the economy. So in Melbourne, I have a similar size of attenders in other countries, like a 12, something like that. Sydney was bigger, almost 20. But the level of the conversation was really high. They were interested in talk about a more complex implementation in real current projects in Drupal 8, this kind of stuff. So they are really advancing that matter.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Australia is on my bucket list to go to. I want to wrestle a kangaroo. Did you?
I did.
You did wrestle a kangaroo. That's pretty awesome. What about any wallabies or koalas?
I hug a koala, obviously.
Yeah,
I saw a Tasmanian demon.
Yeah,
it's impossible to hug if you want to preserve your fingers. It's they are really tough.
I know about the Tasmanian devils because I watch cartoons. So.
Yeah. They travel around and kind of little tornadoes.
Yeah,
this for sure. This is the reality.
Yeah. So you actually went to Tasmania, right? You said.
Yeah, I spent like 4 days doing hiking, visiting the ocean views, driving around. It's just to try to relax from my relaxing trip.
Yeah, I'm pretty jealous. That sounds pretty amazing. Where did you go to after Australia and Tasmania?
I require a second relaxed break. So I visit Hawaii.
Hawaii? What island in Hawaii?
Oahu only.
Yeah.
But was I rent a car, so I drove like a beach after beach in the city, in the island. Mm-hmm. So it was really awesome.
I heard the weather's bad in Hawaii. Is that true?
Yeah, not really.
It's awful. Nobody should ever go, right?
No, man. It's like it's a volcanic island. So just driving in around the island is awesome. It's something you have to do.
Being from Costa Rica, though, you know a thing or two about beaches. How did Hawaii compare?
You know, everybody wants to go to Costa Rica, so maybe I am too familiar with this place. And Hawaii was totally new, but I say it's like some places was like unbelievable sunsets. I have to return. I say you must go to Hawaii. It's awesome.
Yeah, and Costa Rica has a share of volcanoes too.
Yeah, we have. But I say it's like it's your house. Okay, we can go to volcano.
So these were just the side trips there to help you chill out after all the Drupal, and then you decided to jump back in and do some more, right?
Exactly. I feel bad for that.
And then you said you were in Mexicali.
Yeah. It's because I decided to stop my trip doing a Drupal console sprint. So the other co-maintainer, actually the person who started this project, he lives in Mexicali. So I just fly to San Diego, cross the border like a mojado to Mexico.
And that's Jesus, right?
That is Jesus. Yeah. Actually, I crossed the border mojado. Because there is not a border control between USA to Mexico in the direction USA to Mexico. So nobody controls who is getting in Mexico. So it's crazy.
They should build a wall, keep us out.
Don't say that, man.
I know. That's bad.
Yeah. So we did a sprint in his house like for 2 days. And also, you know, see the surrounded area, and we get a release. And at that time, we decided to do something for real, and we decided to create this new company we know. So it's like the final big thing about this trip is like to create this new company.
Well, I tell you what, all right. So give us the quick overview of We Know. Evidently, you guys are doing training, consulting, something like that. What's the quick spiel on that?
Well, the elevator pitch is like we want to use the knowledge we have doing Drupal console as a Drupal CLI for Drupal 8. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of Symfony, so we want to provide services like to train people to be real Drupal dev in Drupal 8 or Symfony if required, or provide some maybe advisor if some company wants some leadership about how to tackle a project. This is our business model for the next 6 months.
That's awesome. Yeah, and we'll put the links in our show notes. So after Mexico, did you go back to Costa Rica? You also mentioned that you went to Brazil or where else?
Yes, I just stayed at home for 4 weeks, and after that I was invited to Brazil to participate in the biggest freedom software in Latin America. Was about 3,500 attenders.
Oh my
so they want to foster a little bit the Drupal community. So they invite me, and then I did a stop in Sao Paulo to talk with the Drupal local community.
How is the Brazilian Drupal community?
They say the market is really big. It's really used in private companies, but the involvement of developers in the open source community is not that big yet.
What do you suppose that is?
It's the same problem in the rest of Latin America. So I have this conversation a few days ago with a Chinese guy who lives in USA. And maybe in general, people is more worried about surviving. And this is the mental thinking, like if you share, maybe you are losing your advantage. And so most people they decided to don't contribute.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
Okay.
So after you've gone all the way around the world and stopped in many different countries and talked to many different Drupal groups and shared so much, do you feel like you've lost your advantage?
Not really. Actually, I am getting more advantages.
Yeah.
I imagine so. You've met people around the world and made good contacts.
Exactly. So learn about new system, new development, new ideas, new concepts. So for me, it's totally the opposite. So actually, I wrote an article 2 days ago about that, the art of contributing in software. It's like it's a long-term vision. So you start contributing because you like, but eventually you will get a lot of benefits. So people will notice you, that you are a good developer in this, or a good people who document, or a good speaker, something. So when I say long term, is maybe 2 years top, but could be less. So no. Contribution is the key.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I notice is you write software, or you talk about software, and you teach people about software, and you automatically become, you know, an expert. People think of you as an expert on that. Mm-hmm. And then of course that brings in new business and, you know, hopefully you can charge more money too.
Exactly. So some people say they invite you, you get invitations around the world. It's easy for you. And I say, no, it's because I work for that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you put in a lot of time and effort, you know, into Drupal Console and just meeting people and going around to camps. I mean, I've met you obviously at Drupal Camp Costa Rica. I met you in DrupalCon Los Angeles, and I might have seen you in New Orleans. I don't remember.
No, I was in Philippines at that time.
Ah, okay. So all right. So hey, I got some. I got a couple really, really good and tough questions for you. Are you ready?
Uh oh. Okay.
Yeah. All right. If you had to pick one location to go back to, just to visit and hang out, not to do any Drupal, just to go, where would you go?
Hawaii.
Yeah. All right. I would like to go to good Hawaii choice. Too. Yeah.
So here's one from your list of locations that might not be the normal ones. Where should they have a DrupalCon?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Where?
Yeah.
In my opinion, maybe two places. Singapore, I guess, is a good location because it's in the middle of Asia. They speak English. It's easy to travel for other people. They have good infrastructure. To try to foster business because the market, I could say Tokyo. Okay. It's a good place.
What was the best food that you ate? Like, and I'm not saying, you know, McDonald's or anything like that. Like, what was the best local food that you ate during this trip?
Oh, according to my taste, I could say in West China, in Chengdu, is hot pot fish. This is a really spicy dish, and I like it.
Yeah.
Is it better than rice noodles?
Yeah.
This is the weird part of my trip.
So my other question was, besides the ice noodles, what was the worst food that you had out there?
This is the thing. The best was hot pot fish, right?
Yeah.
And the weird is hot pot, but not fish. It's because in hot pot, it's like they provide you different, you know, internal organ of animals, and you need to put there. And when you decide it is good, then you eat. But because Chinese food is just boiled, so you have some like a kidney of duck. And then you put there, and this
hot oil. Hot pot boil. So you just basically boil water and add organs?
Basically with some spices.
With some spices. It's kind of like, reminds me of like almost like gumbo or something that they do, you know, in Louisiana area, where they just kind of put a mix of everything and spices and stuff. I don't know if they have organs.
Yeah. So this is like, it's weird, especially the testers. Like, okay. So it's the best and it's the weird.
I think you might have just offended our one Creole listener, Mike.
Sorry, Eric. All right, so let's talk about like engaging the community. You've talked about one of the biggest impediments to these communities are just like the lack of documentation, the lack of everything in their native language. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Is that the biggest barrier for more adoption in these various countries?
Well, the problem is like is this, you know, we need to decide who is first, egg or chicken. In this case, is who is first, market or community? So sometimes try to create a community. Try to create a community without companies is really tough. And the problem is like a company, they don't like in those countries to invest in a product is not available in his language. So it's like a deadlock. So how we could break up? that.
Yeah, and it's and then you, it definitely does sound like a chicken and the egg problem, you know, because it costs, you know, it would cost money to do the documentation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, assuming that, you know, you don't have local volunteers to translate everything.
Yeah, this is a big problem. But yeah. Drupal is used, as I said, for many companies. But the process could be better if we tackle the problem from a different way. I don't know.
So, what can we learn from all these communities and everything? Like what can you take from them and maybe apply it to, you know, some larger communities like, you know, North America or Europe or something like that?
I can. It's, a lot of people ask me sometimes, like, what do you learn? Thinking, like, I get more wisdom after this trip. Not really. Like, I just see a lot of places. So what I think is, like, what we could learn from our communities is, like, we could take advantage in terms of number. My idea is, like, we are trying always to sell Drupal and say Drupal is the 2% of Drupal internet, right? Mm-hmm. So, but if we help countries like Japan, China, Russia, and Brazil to increase the use of Drupal, so maybe in 3 years we could say we jumped last 3 years from 2% to 6%. So, and this is, even if not touching my region, globally, we are saying we are using the most popular product last 3 years around the world. So obviously, if you choose Drupal, this is good for you. See, like, this is the whole idea in open source. Like, as I say, long-term vision. If you help another communities or you invest in contribution, later you will get benefit at the end.
Yeah. So what do you hope that people got out of you visiting them, like outside of kind of learning about the Drupal console and Drupal 8?
Yeah, well, my the message I want to try to do to tell them is, like, they need to try to resolve the problem by themselves. They don't need to wait for you know, this Moses or something like that, like to save our world. So, and I just show, like, living in a small country, like Costa Rica, Tasmania is bigger than Costa Rica, right? And I am not living in a developed country. I am living in a almost third world country. So it's not about your location. So wherever you are, you could try to do a change in your world. This is what Jesus and I were trying to do from Mexico and Costa Rica. Because, and this chain of mind, like a lot of people in developed countries, I don't know in Europe or America, but we believe, like, just because where we live, immediately we have, like, a blocker to try to produce the knowledge.
Very powerful. That's awesome.
Speaking of Costa Rica, you guys have an event coming up down there pretty soon, right?
Yeah, DrupalCon Costa Rica, September 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So this is, like, one of the biggest Drupal camps in Latin America, maybe the most hipster Drupal camp.
The most hipster?
Uh-huh. you know, the slogan at Drupal is the community. You came from the software and you stay for community. So we're Costa Rica. Yeah. You came in Costa Rica for DrupalCon, but you staying for the volcano surf and everything, right? So it's a good excuse. Michael already applied that in Lulabot. Like, I need to go to Costa Rica because Ryan Sharma is going to speech. You know, I need to something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My coworker Wampy and I went to Drupal Camp Costa Rica last year. And it was amazing. I got to visit a friend a couple of days before, and so I got to visit a little bit more of the country. And what was really cool is even the camp was ran really, really well. you could just tell the organization that went into that was really awesome. And coming in from outside of the country, and I don't really know Jack for Spanish, everybody was just like really helpful. You know, when I didn't have my swimming trunks, you know, someone ran me to a store where I could buy some swimming trunks, you know, and that was, it was just really, really awesome. And afterwards, there was an excursion where we went to Isla de Tortuga or something.
Isla Tortuga.
Yeah. And basically, we loaded up on a big old bus, drove about an hour and a half to the ocean, hopped in a boat, and drove another, or rode in about another hour out to some island, drank a whole bunch of drinks, swam, did a lot of kayaking and snorkeling.
So you didn't see the turtle at all?
I didn't see a turtle. I saw pigs out there. They had pigs on the island, I think. Yeah. And then came back. It was a fantastic experience. So I can't make it this year, but I highly recommend anybody.
So that's Drupal Camp, Costa Rica. And when is that again?
Yeah, it's September 1 and 2. Actually, maybe let me mention the big speaker. So we have a Ryan Sharma for Comer Guys.
Ryan, yeah, he was on the podcast not that long ago. Yep.
Yeah.
Key Steven for Canopy Studios. We have Jan from Akia.
Yeah.
He fly directly from Germany to here. We have people from Chapter 3 for we usually get people from Central America, Mexico, Chile, Peru. So it's like we want to create some environment similar to the Batcamp. So it's technical advanced, but do have a lot of stuff to do after that.
And Enzo, September is the Drupal Camp Costa Rica, and September is also a big month for you because it was announced that you'll be keynoting the DrupalCon in Dublin.
Yes.
Are you excited about that?
Yeah, I got the notification and I couldn't believe that. I need someone else to read for me just to confirm, and now I need to prepare something to be really, you know, to spread my gratitude with the association.
What are you going to be talking about?
In general, it was like some lessons I learned from my trip and some ideas I have to how we could change as community to try to get a general benefit as community. So obviously a lot of pictures of people, a lot of food porn, and talking about this experience and some simple ideas I think we can change in order to change the world.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I will be in Dublin, and so I'll be in the audience throwing tomatoes at you.
Ice noodles.
Okay.
Ice noodles.
Don't give people ideas.
It's too late.
But this is awesome, and I expect people enjoy.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it's a really cool story, you know, and I know you've learned a lot too. And honestly, engaging the rest of the world is the path. I think the easiest path to increase Drupal's adoption, mm-hmm. you know, like you said.
So do you have any final thoughts or any reflections about your grand tour of Drupal now that you've been at home for a little bit?
As I say, I don't believe I have more, you know, wisdom or something like that. I just say like it's possible to contribute people without a commercial agenda behind, and at the end you will grow as a company, as a person, and it's a life experience. This is I really think this is about community, is about that, the change and receive from people. That's it.
Cool. Well, thank you.
Thank you to you guys. I just was joking and trying to pull your leg.